Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. This is a very special talk about a very special person. Who is this masked man who can turn around airplanes and stop bombs from dropping? As we talked about in our mass talk in preparation, we talked about how he was able to stop San Giovanni Rotunda from being bombed. He had a great love for all soldiers, and he also was able to help a man whose plane was on fire and had to dive out of his plane, and his parachute didn't open. And this man went back to his base and said, "I don't know what happened, but there was a monk who caught me and set me down on the ground." His general thought he was so crazy that he sent him home on leave. And so, but it was Padre Pio, because he said, well, he told the story to his mother, and his mother said that was Padre Pio. Padre Pio worked so many miracles, even for soldiers who had died. One night, the monks were all in a room together, and they were having their recreation time, the time of fun together, and all of a sudden, they heard shouts, "Viva Padre Pio! Viva Padre Pio!" And they all looked at Padre Pio and they said, "Who on earth is that out there banging on our doors at this hour of night?" Padre Pio said, "Don't worry, it's just some soldiers who have come, who were released from purgatory, and they came to say thank you to me for my prayers." He also worked a special miracle for a doctor who wanted to work in his hospital that was funded by the American people. Or for mostly by the American people, and this doctor didn't have the money to come over from the United States to Italy, and Padre Pio worked a miracle so that he could come and minister to the people of Padre Pio's hospital. Padre Pio trusted entirely in the goodness of God. There is a passage from Colossians that was written by St. Paul 2,000 years ago. But this passage speaks about Padre Pio too. Listen, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring completion to you for the word of God." Padre Pio was born in 1887. His name was Francesco Forgione, and he was born on May 25th. If anybody who's got a birthday on May 25th definitely needs to adopt Padre Pio. So he's got some people raising their hand in the back. Okay, look at that. All right. He was from Pietrelcina, Italy, and it was his mother who instilled in him a deep love for prayer, for Jesus, for the Blessed Mother, and for his angel, his guardian angels. He had three sisters and one brother, and one of his sisters actually became a religious sister. She was a Brigantine. His family were family farmers. They had a small plot of land in central Italy. But his father came to New York, to the United States, in order to work to save up the money so that Padre Pio could get an education and become a priest. By the time Padre Pio, or Francesco, was 5 years old, he knew that he was meant to be a priest. He regularly, from the time he was a little boy, conversed with Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and his guardian angels. In fact, he was surprised to find out that nobody else could see their guardian angel but him. He only had 3 years of education when he was young, and he was sent out to be a shepherd, and he helped raise sheep. When he was 15 years old, he had a vision of a very tall, majestic man that he said was as resplendent as the sun. who directed him to fight against another tall man with a really ugly face. And he fought this ugly man with the help of the beautiful, majestic man. He didn't understand what he was seeing, but he won the fight. And then the next day, after Holy Communion, Francesco said that he had another vision that explained what he saw. The majestic man was, of course, Jesus Christ. And the ugly man was, of course, the devil. The majestic man said to him, "If you become a religious priest, you are going to have to fight this tall, ugly man for your entire life. But if you do, I will be with you every step of the way." When Francesco entered the Capuchin monastery on the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th, 1903, he gave infinite praise and thanks to you, my God, for you have hidden me from the eyes of everyone. This did not turn out to be true. However, he was in for 1 year, and on the second year, he made his profession of vows, and no sooner did he make his first profession of vows that the devil began to attack him. He appeared in his room one night as a big black dog, throwing flames from his eyes and from his mouth. It scared Padre Pio so much that he passed out in his bed. Only 2 years after that, after his first profession of vows, he had his first experience of bilocating. He was 23 years old the first time he bilocated. And it was at this first time that he bilocated that he was given his first spiritual daughter. He was in the choir loft in his chapel with another brother, Anastasio, who cooperated that he never left the chapel. But suddenly, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly he found himself in a city in northern Italy called Udine. And he was in an elegant home, and there was a beautiful woman who was praying for her dying husband. She was pregnant. And the Blessed Mary appeared to him in this home and said, "I'm going to entrust this little baby creature to you. She is a precious stone, still in a rough state. Work on her, polish her, make her brilliant, because one day I wish to adorn myself with her." Padre Pio said, "But how can this be possible? I'm a poor cleric. I'm not yet even a priest, and I live so very far away. How do you know this? How can this possibly happen?" The Blessed Mother said, "Do not doubt. She will come to you, but first you will meet her at St. Peter's in Rome." And then suddenly he found himself back in the choir loft in his monastery. The mother, her name was Leonild. She was a very prayerful person, and again, her husband, who was a very well-to-do man, he was a marquis, so that made him like royalty in Italy. He was dying, and he was dying without the sacraments because he was a Freemason. He didn't want to believe in the Catholic Church, even though he was raised as a Catholic. She suddenly saw this Capuchin friar appear in her home, and she got up to run after him. But he suddenly disappeared. At that very moment, the Marquis's dog began to howl. Dogs and animals often know when someone is dying, and the dog started to howl. Leonine got so frustrated with the howling of the dog that she went downstairs to untie him and went into premature labor. The master of the house, the head servant of the house, helped her have that baby. She ran upstairs to put the baby in the arms of her dying husband. And the master of the house, who saw that outside was a priest trying to get into the house to give the Marquis the last rite and was being blocked by the other masons who didn't want him to get the last rites, shouted out the window, "You cannot cannot deny the sacrament of baptism to this brand new baby because she's premature, and if she dies, she will die without the sacraments. So the masons let the priest through. Needless to say, the Marquis made a good confession. He got the last rites, and the baby was baptized. This baby later became the first spiritual daughter of Padre Pio and started and helped start the Franciscan Third Order with him. He named her Sister Jacoba, a name she couldn't stand. She said, "Why are you calling me Jacoba? I don't even like that name." But he said, "I'm naming you that because Lady Jacoba was the first disciple of St. Francis and was given the gift to mystically be at the death of St. Francis." And this young woman, Sister Jacoba, who actually was married, she became married but was in his Third Order and later supported the hospital and everything, was mystically present at the death of Padre Pio. Now, can you see the length that Jesus goes to save one soul? Through the prayers of a pious, holy mother and wife, a little girl became a spiritual daughter of Padre Pio. A priest bilocated to save her husband from dying without the sacraments. And he was saved. And the Lord also used a barking dog to make sure that things would happen in the world. We all need to pray because your prayers are very powerful and you need to persevere in your prayers. I was with a woman this morning and I asked in a nursing home, and she asked to have the relics of Padre Pio come because she had a deep devotion to Padre Pio. And I asked them to say a rosary together, these three 90-year-old ladies, to say a rosary for the success of this mission. And I guarantee you that this mission will be a success because they are praying their rosary for all of us right now. Padre Pio was the first priest to be a stigmatist. Francis was a stigmatist, but he wasn't a priest, and he only had the stigmata for 2 years. Padre Pio carried the wounds of Christ for 50 years. He had deep scars in his hands throughout his life, but right before he died, they disappeared. But while he was saying the Mass, sometimes the scabs that were on his hands would fall off, and people would see light shining through his hands. He died in 1968. He was beatified by Pope St. John Paul in 1999 and was canonized very quickly in 2002. His body was found to be incorrupt. It was in very good, almost perfect condition, which means he had incredible holiness, but the stigmata were no longer on his hands. It was the faith, hope, and charity of Padre Pio that made him so special. And I want to talk a little bit about the things that he wants each and every one of us to do and that he did. First, he was devoted to the Eucharist. St. John tells us that he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him. Any account of Padre Pio has to start with Jesus. He once said that when he was doing the Solemn Sacrifice of the Mass, that when he was so absorbed in God, that at the time of consecration, he saw everyone who asked for his prayers. The pain of this stigmata he endured also made his masses last for up to 2 hours. People would see the crown of thorns on his head mystically. They would see his head become the Ecce Homo, the Behold the Man, the Suffering Jesus Christ. But at the elevation of the Eucharist, sometimes his face would become bright and luminous, and it would radiate beauty. one of his most famous quotes and one we should all know. He said, "It would be easier for the world to survive without the Son than to survive without the holy sacrifice of the Mass." Padre Pio. Think about that. No Son, we have no grass, we have no life. And yet, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is more powerful, more important than the Son. One of his spiritual daughters, who marveled at seeing how he could stand for 2 hours, asked him, "How do you stand on your swollen and bloody feet for 2 hours?" He said, "I cannot get tired, because when I celebrate the Holy Mass, I am not standing, but I am hanging on the cross with Jesus. And I suffer inadequately all that Jesus suffered on the cross, as much as possible for all human beings. The Lord has deigned to associate me with the great work of redemption. And this in spite of every one of my demerits." This is him talking. "And only because of his supreme goodness. He wants us always to believe that every little good deed you and I do, God sees it. We have to have confidence that our good deeds God sees, and he wants to make us holy. The second thing that you have if you want to love the Lord and be like Padre Pio, you have to have devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary." Padre Pio wrote this when he was only 23 years old. He said, "Poor dear Mother Mary, how you love me. I observe it at once more at the beginning of this month of May. What great care you take to accompany me to the altar this morning." Mary was with him going to the altar. "It seems to me that you have nothing else to think about except for me. And she fills my whole heart with sentiments of holy love." When someone asked Padre Pio if the Blessed Virgin Mary was at the Mass, you know what he said? "How can the Mother of Jesus, present on Calvary at the foot of the cross, who offered her Son as a victim for the salvation of all of our souls, be absent at the mystical Calvary of the altar? At every single Mass, the Blessed Virgin Mary is here with us." Padre Pio hardly ever slept. He often only slept like 3 or 4 hours because he wanted to stay up and say the rosary because of his love and devotion for the Blessed Mother. He called the rosary the weapon of our times. Do you know how many rosaries Padre Pio said almost every day? 35 rosaries a day. How many of us struggle to say one rosary a day? As we're coming into Advent, I would like to encourage each and every one of you to dedicate your Advent to the Blessed Virgin Mary and say the rosary. Padre Pio said it has the depth of the entire gospel message in it, and it echoes Mary's prayer, her Magnificat. Another story about how the Blessed Virgin Mary interceded during, here's more World War II stories. You know why? Because Padre Pio was involved so much in World War II. The Lord put him in the world to give us all hope at the time of that great suffering. One of his spiritual daughters said that during the Second World War, her nephew was a prisoner of war, and the family hadn't heard anything about him for an entire year, and they all thought he was dead. The mother of the young man went to Padre Pio and said, she got down on her knees and she said, "Please, Padre Pio, tell me if my son is alive. I'm not going to go away unless you tell me." Perseverance of a mother's prayer. Did everybody hear that? "I'm not leaving until I get my answer." Padre Pio started to cry, and he said, "Stand up and go in peace." but no word continued to come. So the spiritual daughter of Padre Pio, her name was Cleonce, decided to ask Padre Pio for a miracle. So she went to him and she said, "Father, Padre, I'm going to write a letter to my nephew, Giovannino, and I'm going to write his name on the envelope only because we don't know where he is. And you and your guardian angel are going to take the letter to him and make sure he gets it." Padre Pio didn't say a word. So his spiritual daughter took advantage, wrote the letter. She put it on her nightstand that night and asked and said a prayer over the letter. And the next morning she got up and the letter was not on her nightstand. So she, of course, ran to Padre Pio and she said, "Padre Pio, thank you. I knew it was you. You took the letter." And he said, "No, give the thanks to Our Lady. It was the Blessed Mother who had the letter delivered." Within 15 days, they had received a return response from the young man who was a prisoner of war, and it gave them great hope to continue. Here's Padre Pio's words about the Blessed Virgin Mary. "Some people are so foolish that they think they can go through life without the help of the Blessed Mother. Love the Madonna and pray the Rosary. All graces given by God pass through the Blessed Mother. Go to the Madonna and love her. Be souls of prayer. It is prayer that shapes the heart of God and obtains all necessary graces." And the last two words on Padre Pio's lips when he died, "Jesus and Mary." The third thing most of us don't like to hear about, but we need to talk about, is confession. Luke tells us, and Jesus said, I tell you, there is more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents than 99 in no need of repentance. Here is a very powerful story of repentance by a man who went to see Padre Pio for confession. In 1928, this man had become a Catholic. He had been a Protestant, but he did it only out of social convenience and to please his wife. He had been raised in a very anti-Catholic family, and he had lots of prejudices against the dogmas of our faith, particularly confession. And when he went through RCIA, he listened, but he didn't really believe it, but he became a Catholic anyway. And then he found a friend who introduced him in 1928 to something called Spiritism. Remember when I gave everybody a hard time yesterday, we're going to psychics? Well, he was going to psychics. He got into the occult, into all sorts of magic, into the things that we now call Ouija boards, into seances. And he became a disciple of a man who said, "I possess the only truth." Okay, that's a little bit silly. But occasionally he would go to Mass with his wife just to please her. Then one day he heard about a Capuchin friar that was known as a living crucifix and was continuing to work miracle after miracle. And so because he thought he was the spiritual guru, he was going to go see who this Padre Pio was. He decided to go to confession to Padre Pio. He knelt down in the confessional, and he said these words to Padre Pio: "I consider confession a good social and educational institution, but I do not believe in the divinity of the sacrament at all." Padre Pio said with an expression of great sorrow, "Heresy. Then all of your communions have been sacrilegious. You must make a general confession. Examine your conscience and remember the last time you actually made a good confession. Jesus has been more merciful to you than he was with Judas." And then he looked over the man's head and said, "Praise be Jesus and Mary," and got up from the confessional and went over to the other side of the church to hear the confessions of the women. Needless to say, this man's head was reeling. He didn't know what to do. It kept going around in his mind, remember the last time you made a good confession. So he decided to make it easy on himself and say, well, I'm going to just tell him I'm going to start from when I was a child. When he comes back, I'll make a confession from the time he was a child. So Padre Pio comes back across the church, goes into the sacristy where the men would make their confessions, and he started to say, Padre Pio, the last time I made a good confession was, and Padre Pio stopped him right there, and he said, the last time you made a good confession was when you were coming back from your honeymoon. Let's leave everything else aside, and we'll start from there. And he proceeded to list every single one of his faults and sins with precision and clarity. And after Padre Pio brought his sins to light, he said these impressive words, you have sung a hymn to Satan, while Jesus, in his ardent love, has broken his neck for you. This is why we don't go to psychics. He gave him a penance, absolved him from his sins, and the words of this man are, I believe not only in the dogmas of the Catholic Church, but also in the least of all its ceremonies. To take away this faith from me, you will have to take away my life. This is the power of Padre Pio. Once Padre Pio's reputation as a confessor spread, the lines grew so long that you had to wait 10 days to get in to see him. And then by 1950, the Capuchins had to have a ticketing system to allow them to go to see to confession to Padre Pio. And his confessions lasted an average of 3 minutes. And he was in the confessional for 15 to 19 hours a day. As you prepare for Advent, I suggest you ask for Padre Pio's intercession to help you make a good and holy confession so that all the graces the Lord Jesus wants to pour into your hearts and souls through the intercession of Padre Pio, you are given, so that your prayers and all that you need will be answered. The fourth way to be closer to Padre Pio and to learn about him is humility. In the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for the many. Padre Pio said the two fundamental virtues for holiness are humility and charity. Humility is the foundation, and charity is the roof. He wrote to one of his spiritual sons something that we are suffering from today. Self-love, self-esteem, and false freedom are roots which do not easily get removed from the heart. If you do good, praise God, not yourself. If you should fall into evil, humble yourself, blush with shame before God, but do not be discouraged. Pope St. John Paul wrote about the difficulties and sorrows that Padre Pio suffered his whole life. He said all of his difficulties and sorrows he accepted out of love, and he transformed them into a privileged way of holiness. And he opened the horizon for all of us to a greater good, some of them known only to the Lord himself. So speaking of our own difficulties and sorrows, which we all carry, we were out west in Wyoming, and we met a woman in church, and her husband had started a bank, and he had spent his whole entire life building this bank, and it became very successful. And then one day, over the course of the last few years, this bank suddenly collapsed. And he was in a deep depression. He couldn't get over the fact that his life's work was gone. But maybe the Lord had something more for him. He had something else in mind. When you lose your job or your life's work, or you lose a child, or you lose something, remember, it is not what we do in the world, but it is who we are. We are children of God, and what we do is important, but it does not define who you are, because you are a child of God. There was another couple that was with us in the church at that Mass. They were too were well-to-do. She and her husband would often hold their hands. They had suffered many trials in their lives, and yet they were full of peace and joy. Why? Because they had faith. They were in her 80s, and she still called her husband my boyfriend. My boyfriend cooks the best spaghetti and meatballs I've ever tasted. They laughed, and when we were with him at the Mass and had talked about the homilies about money being the root of all evil, he turned to his wife and he said, "We have enough, don't we? We have enough." They are an incredible example of a good, true, holy, and beautiful marriage. They live their faith every day, and they turn to God in hope when they are in times of trial. Each and every one of us in this room have our own path to holiness. It's different for every one of us, but one thing remains the same. It is through grace, and by each and every one of us taking up our crosses and following God's will, that we will shine with glory in heaven. Look at what Jesus did with Padre Pio. For those of you who struggle with forms of pride or forms of loss, pick up a book on Padre Pio or get on YouTube. There are wonderful, wonderful videos with pictures of Padre Pio, and you can hear his voice speaking. When you hear about his life and you hear about some of the things that he has done, it's very, very humbling, which is why we're talking about him tonight. Padre Pio, in his humility, had to withstand countless attacks, both inside and outside of the church. You know, people claimed his stigmata were false, and that he was pouring acid on his hands because he wanted the attention, not because he was a holy man. He was associated with all kinds of mental illnesses. But no matter what happened, Padre Pio embraced every single one of his hardships with Christian charity. What got him through was his devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and his love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. The fifth way is to become a spiritual child of Padre Pio. He loved all of his spiritual children. In 1 Corinthians, we read, "For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Padre Pio became a father to many. There's this story, I love this story, about Nicola, his friend, and he was a shoemaker. He lived in Pietrelcina. They knew each other as young boys, but Padre Pio by now was in San Giovanni Rotondo. And one night, Nicola got a toothache, and he couldn't even speak his tooth hurt so much. His wife took him up to his room and put him in his bed, and she saw the picture of Padre Pio on the wall, and she said to her husband, Nicola, "Why don't you say a prayer to Padre Pio?" Nicola got so mad that he picked up a shoe and threw it at Padre Pio's picture. The next year, about a year later, Nicola found himself down in San Giovanni Rotondo, and he went to confession to Padre Pio. After the confession, Padre said to him, "Nicola, do you have anything else to tell me?" "No, nothing," Nicola said to Padre Pio. Padre Pio said, "When you threw the shoe at my picture, did you think you would be able to hit me all the way from Pietrelcina? Your teeth were hurting, and you took it out on me." Padre Pio was very fond of all of his spiritual children. He was particularly fond of the United States of America and the American people. I talked about that before. And it is because of all the help that we gave to the Italians. It is because of all of our generosity in supporting him. He had many Americans surrounding him. American priests would come over and translate the 250 letters he would be getting from all over the English-speaking world every day. The American priests carried him into the Mass one time, and they said he wasn't walking, he was levitating. He sent a message home through a soldier by the name of Joe Peluso. He was stationed in Italy, and he was fighting in the theater all over Italy. He was from Pennsylvania, and his mother told him to look up Padre Pio. So Padre Pio went to the military chaplain that he was serving with his group, and the chaplain, when he said, "Do you know who this Padre Pio is?" the chaplain chuckled, and he said, "Padre Pio lives right there on that mountain." Joe went straight up and met him. They became dear friends. He got to eat lunch with Padre Pio and spend a lot of time with him. Joe asked Padre Pio if he could become his spiritual son, and Padre Pio said these words, "Yes, Joe, but when the war is over and you return to the United States, tell the American people that for those who would like me to be their spiritual father, my answer is yes. I accept all Americans as my spiritual children. I only have two requirements. This is what you've all been waiting for. You lead a very good Catholic life. You regularly receive the sacraments." And he said, "Don't ever embarrass me in front of Jesus and Mary." "You must tell them, Joe," he said. So, when I was praying with the relic with this older woman at the nursing home I was telling you about, she said, "Well, but I'm from India." And I said, "Well, how long have you been here?" She said, "62 years. I said, "I think that qualifies." What he was meaning is our generosity, our giving spirit. The American people have a gift of faith, and we have a gift of generosity and charity. This is what he's talking about. If you want to become his spiritual children, he wanted them to do three things. First, keep the commandments of the church. Second, pray. He would want you to say the rosary every day, and if you can, attend daily mass. If not, go as often as you possibly can. He said that today's society does not pray, and that is why we are falling apart. Another prayer that he suggested we all say is, "My past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, my future to your providence." And the third thing he asked us all to do is to meditate before the Blessed Sacrament 30 minutes every day. So if you need special help, you need an extra bit of intercession, you want to preserve yourself in grace, call upon Padre Pio. He said, "I shall stand at the gates of paradise until all of my spiritual children have entered." So he is waiting for you. The next thing you need to do is believe in your guardian angel. How many of us say a prayer to their guardian angel every day? Wonderful. It looks great. He said that, "Know that this good angel prays for you. He offers to God all the good works you accomplish, all of your holy and pure desires." And he said that he would send his angels on errands. There was one of his brothers, Padre Alberto, submitted this story. He took a whole handful stack of letters to Padre Pio. And he said, "Padre Pio, here's some letters that came to you from all over the world." Padre Pio completely ignored him. He had his back to him and he wouldn't look at him. Padre Alberto got frustrated and said, "Padre Pio, these letters came to you from all over the world. I want to give them to you." Padre Pio turned around and said, "Can't you see that I am speaking to all of the angels of my spiritual children? They have sent me urgent requests and I need to answer all of them." He also said, that he could understand every language in the world because his guardian angel was always by his side to translate for him. Now, we all need to love and pray to our guardian angel. The seventh thing we all need to understand, we aren't going to have this, but is the stigmata, because that was a big part of Padre Pio's life. This is a very rare charism that very few saints in the entire church get. He bore the wounds of Christ, the nail marks in his hands and feet, the wound in his side. He would carry the crown of thorns on his head. He would have the scourging on his back. And the most painful wound of all that he carried was the wound on the shoulder. Because Jesus had to carry the cross on his shoulder, and all of the skin was worn away and his bone was exposed, and he had to walk up to Calvary with that pain. Padre Pio carried that same pain. He wrote to his spiritual father, "The wound of the heart pours out blood profusely, especially from Thursday evening until Saturday. My father, I am dying from suffering through the pain and confusion I feel in my soul." Now, you and I are not called to bear the stigmata, but we are called to carry our crosses, and we are called to carry them with faith, with hope, and with charity. If you have a problem with your knee, saying, "Jesus, I'm on the cross with you, and with your knees and my knees are on the cross. Bring my child back to the church. Save my grandson. Save my brother. Help this person who's suffering in the hospital." Your crosses in unified with Christ on the cross has more power than almost anything. So I ask you, how are you bearing your crosses? Are you offering your sufferings to save another soul? Or are you complaining about your pain? We don't need to look for our crosses either. The Lord will send them. Be assured of that. The seventh and final way is obedience. Padre Pio said, "As a devoted son of holy obedience, I will always obey without opening my mouth. The voice of the authority who is his superior, for me is the voice of God, to whom I wish to remain faithful until the moment of my death." He trusted completely in God. I went through yesterday how we need to trust and believe in the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. That is what he is asking us to do. He trusted God and was obedient even when the Roman Curia, out of confusion and misunderstanding and some jealousy, stopped him from celebrating publicly the sacrifice of the Mass for 3 whole years. He was investigated for 10 years, from 1923 to 1933, until finally Pope Pius lifted all the bans on him and said, "I have not been badly disposed toward Padre Pio, I have been badly informed." Padre Pio serves as an excellent example of seeing past all of our emotional pain, all of our pride, all of our obstacles, and being obedient to the truths of our faith. He said, "The human soul is a battlefield. It is a battlefield between God and Satan. Do not let the infernal beast frighten you. God will fight it with you and for you." And he said the most famous of all of his prayers, "Let us pray, hope, and don't worry."